Welcome to another edition of Talking Sports in the Coop with Ryan and Rex. We are super excited to be coming to you this afternoon. Beautiful summer evening here as we record. But there's been so much that has happened since we have last joined you. We've got a couple of updates on some stories that we have been talking about. We've got a lot of World Cup talk. We've got a lot of basketball talk. So let's just dive right on in. When we left you last, the Portland Trailblazers were engulfed in a head coaching search that is now wrapped up and been made official. Mike Anori is the new head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. The Chicago Bulls hired Tiago Splitter away before the Blazers had made a decision. So Splitter becomes off the market. Portland signs Mike Anori. But I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the criticism around the league for the type of contract that Portland has given to Mike Anori, it's very unusual. And we've been talking about this, the owner's influence on things and how he wants to change things. And we're seeing that by the structure of the contract for Mike Anori. It's essentially a three-year deal, one guaranteed with two team options. No news on salary or anything. We don't normally get that when it comes to coaches' contracts, numbers-wise. But to really only have one year guaranteed, the other 2 years are both team options for a first-time head coach, provides, you know, no real security and just kind of a big puzzling wonderment from the league of, like, what is happening? What is this new trend that Portland is trying to go in? Because normally you get a head coach, you sign him to a multi-year deal for a number of reasons, for them building up the system the correct way, with them being able to approach the team building in the correct philosophy. So it's puzzling, but then hearing what Mike Anori said during his press conference made me really excited for the head coach that we have, that is coming in to lead this ship. You know, coming off of some defensive-minded head coaches, somebody that has such a plethora of experience in the offensive side of the game will be exciting to see, because we have a lot of really good defenders on this roster already. So I'm very intrigued to see the direction things go. But it was very peculiar seeing kind of how the contract came down, how it all fell into place. But at the end of the day, I'm very happy that Mike Anori is the next Blazers head coach.
You mentioned system, and I don't know how much of a system, or at least bought into the one already in place that the new owner has. He's only been there for a short amount of time. And I don't necessarily know how coaching contracts in the NHL work, mm-hmm. Or what he's normally used to dealing in. This does seem very like you were my last choice type of feel with this. I don't know. This feels like a contract I would give to number five on my list of top five coaches.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'll touch on the first part, the NHL thing. Since he has been in Carolina, he came in similar situation. They needed a head coach right as he came in to step over and take over the team. They hired a former NHL player in Rod Brendamore, who was a fabulous, fabulous player, but had never had any head coaching experience. It was his first time in a head coaching role. So very similar kind of things. Brendamore's been there the whole time. Dundon has owned the team.
And I mean, the experience thing seems like a moot point now that they're champions too.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so, you know, so again, everything that I'm seeing from Dundon, I'm okay with, because he has proven that he can come in and take a fledgling organization over and make it into a championship foundation moving forward. And so that's why I feel confident moving forward with that.
Yeah, It's definitely going to be an interesting thing, and we would probably be more concerned and more worried if we didn't hear about the new major signing for the Trailblazers or the trade. I mean,
yeah, there's been a lot. We'll get into that here in a little bit when we touch more on the on the offseason. Going through the notes and stuff that we touched on, story updates, though, let's pound through another one real quick. The Brendan Sorsby issue took a fascinating turn as things progressed. The NFL made the decision that they will not be holding a supplemental draft this year, something that Sorsby and his agent were not very happy about. The league put out a big memo to every single team, basically saying, hey, you know, we haven't had enough time to investigate this situation. This is left to our discretion. The player theoretically could have entered the NFL draft before all of this popped off, so there's no real need to have a supplemental draft this year. So I like the message that the NFL sends in doing that. And then the CFL, the Canadian Football League, took step as well, saying that they would not allow Sorsby to sign on with any Canadian Football League team. So I'm glad that he is finally seeing the recourse to his actions, that he just can't, you know, sue everybody and get his way. You know, his agent, when this first came out and, you know, said, oh, we're gonna sue, us and the NFLPA are gonna sue because this is unjust. Well, he's not a member of the NFLPA. He is not in the league. He has not been drafted yet. So even if it was unjust or it was a violation, there's no recourse for him because he is not a member of the league, because nobody has drafted him, and the NFL is blocking that pathway to him getting drafted this offseason, which I think is the right course of action for them to take.
And it, from everything I've read, it sounds like he's preparing for the 27 draft. So, I mean, he'll still get his opportunity to play professionally, but he'll have to sit out. And that's that. And I think that's a big for those people that are not like 100%, this guy can't play football anymore. For those people, they're happy. But like for the group of people that are like, you know, he should be suspended. He should be in trouble for a certain amount of time. And then if he can keep playing football, then so be it. But he needs to pay for what he's done, and he needs to be in trouble. And there needs to be a standard set so other people don't do it again. But is he going to do it again?
I mean, he's got a year to sit around and do nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
that's
what I'm saying. It's not like he's at Texas Tech, so they're not going to be monitoring on his phone. I think he gets to keep a portion of that money that Texas Tech gave him too, like a million or 2 million of that 5 million that they were going to pay him to play there this year. So, kid's got time and money and only went to rehab for 35 days and still has the same phone in his hand where he can go online and bet.
I wouldn't be surprised if he found somewhere to play football as well.
I'm sure.
A small college somewhere.
Or an arena team.
Or the you know, what's the team that plays in the spring? It's not the XFL anymore. The UFL.
UFL, yeah.
I mean, they still haven't came out and said that they aren't going to take him. So
I thought their season was already happening.
Well, it is. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He could still play their following season possibly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's avenues he could take.
It's going to be hard with no team seeing game film from him. I mean, we've seen this in the past from players.
You can't sit out and just come back right away and be
especially
good.
Especially with football.
And maybe it benefits him because, you know, he probably won't end up on a team where he has to play right away, so he'll get some time to work back into form. But this is definitely being forced to sit out 1 to 2 years of almost any sport, really, is almost a death penalty.
It is a death penalty.
You almost never come back from this.
Right. You can't get on the field. There's no film. There's no any preparation time. You know, preparing for a game and just staying in shape are two completely different things.
Or having game reps.
Right. That's another great point, having game reps. So there's a lot that he's missing and will miss heading into the draft next year, without even talking about how great of a quarterback class next year is going to be. Yeah. So it's another stumbling block, and we'll see if it might be, like you were saying, the nail in the coffin for Brendan Sorsby right now.
Would he So I'm still unsure on how the supplementary drafts work, but would he have been the only player in the draft?
He would have been the only player in the draft. So the way it works is, I don't know how, like, if a team, I know that you wager your draft capital for next year. So you see a player that you really like, and you're like, okay, I think that I would be willing to risk a third round pick on this player. Well, I don't know how it's determined if another team, if like with a similar record, then says, well, I would also like to wager a third round pick. I don't know what happens in those circumstances.
But it's all for a single player?
But it would, in this case, it would have been all for a single player, yeah. Okay. So it wouldn't have been like a big draft or anything. It would have just been like a conference call type situation that the league office holds.
With teams that are interested
and essentially like, okay, you know, I'm going to bid a second round pick because this team bid a third round pick. But I don't know if teams get to know what other teams bid. So there's a lot of the process that I'm unfamiliar with because it doesn't happen very often.
Right, right.
And when it does, it's, you know, one or two player, you know, type of deal. It's not like it's, you know,
it's not the group of guys that didn't get drafted.
Right. Well, because it's specifically for players that a hardship happens after that window of time where you can enter the draft.
Where
you're not eligible. So it's a very small window. The one that jumps out at me is when the NFL denied Maurice Claret the supplemental draft, and then the other big one was Josh Cribbs, who got picked in the supplemental draft. Was it Josh Cribbs?
Yeah, Josh Cribbs got.
Yeah, Josh Cribbs.
And so did the Ohio State quarterback. The one that got in trouble for tattoos or whatever.
Oh, Braxton Miller?
Was it Braxton Miller, or was it the guy that ended up with the Raiders? Gosh, dang it. Tyrod. No, not Tyrod. They all got similar names. That's the issue.
You're not thinking of Jamarcus Russell.
No, because he played for LSU.
Right.
It was the Ohio State quarterback that got in trouble for the tattoos, the whole tattoo thing. We had talked about it on the show before.
Okay, yeah, I'm spacing on that.
Either way.
But anyway, it's gonna be interesting because, like we're saying, because of how good of a quarterback class it truly is next year. It's really fascinating.
We'll have to see how this season plays out. There's a lot of things that are gonna go into this NFL season, and who's picking where and things like that. Because you've got some fun stories too. Because you have, like, let's use for example the Dolphins, who are a number one favorite, mm-hmm. you know, first pick favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They just paid a quarterback,
right?
And they will probably end up drafting a quarterback, and then they're gonna have more quarterback drama.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be
quarterback drama in South Beach.
Yeah, imagine that.
Exactly. Yeah, writes itself.
It's absolutely crazy. Who knows what the Rams end up looking like, or what moves they make to try to if they like Ty Simpson or if they want to take a swing on somebody else.
I think like we were talking about a couple of shows ago. I think that Ty Simpson pick, especially after the Myles Garrett trade, just makes so much more sense to me. You know, you're giving up draft capital in that trade. You see the potential to maybe go get your future quarterback, and for him to sit behind Stafford for two to three years.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense. And I know the Rams were heavily criticized, and it's kind of that step back to more of that old school mentality for football that you used to see, where teams weren't afraid to draft a quarterback and have him sit for a year or two and learn the system before they just threw him into the wolves.
Yeah, I think the last time we saw that was Love and Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, and that worked out pretty well for both.
Well, Mahomes sat his first year.
Yeah.
Mahomes sat his first year.
But it wasn't like it was a long-term investment of, like, you're going to have to sit for a little bit. We don't know when our quarterback's going to leave, type of thing, I feel like.
That's a really good point. I'm just excited that we're able to talk football again, man. It's heating back up. So close. It's coming. It's right around the corner. We'll be talking AP top 25 preseason polls on this show before you know it, and that's exciting, man.
Yeah, college football is your absolute
favorite. Caleb will tell you, I love me some college football. There are far better things than waking up on a Saturday and sitting on the couch all day and watching college football games, bringing my second TV out from my bedroom into the living room, games on both TVs, just madness. I'm ready for football season, man.
It's a very interesting sight when I walk in on him with two TVs, both of them going. He's like, huh? he's in this football coma.
I've mastered the art of multitasking watching football games. That is for sure. You know, sometimes you get bored, so sometimes one TV becomes, you know, your Madden, your NCAA, your, you know, 2K TV, and the other becomes your football TV. So there's a good balance. It all works out at the end of the day.
You do love your sports games. Shout out. Madden's coming out real soon, and so is the NCAA.
New NCAA is coming out right around the corner. Very excited. Just in a couple of days, actually, it comes out. Right after my birthday.
I think he was hinting at something.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Hint, hint.
Yeah,
get me NCAA football for my birthday.
He's trying to tell me something. I don't know. I'm not getting you anything for your birthday. What are you talking about?
You don't have to get me anything. You'll just buy me an appetizer. It'll all work out. It'll all work out. But it has been, like I said, just a lot of really exciting things happening. And we've got a lot of exciting things to cover here on the next two segments of the show. We're going to be talking World Cup. We're going to be talking NBA offseason, NBA draft, NBA trades that have happened, free agents, new faces in new places. It is always an exciting time when you get new faces in new places. So many different storylines in the NBA right now that we get to dive into here in the next segment. I'm very excited about it.
It's gonna be something you're gonna have to stay tuned for, and we will be right back with Talking Sports in the Coop with Ryan Black.
KXRW is supported by founding partners, Morrell Inc., Print, and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Sports in the Coop with Ryan and Rex. Hope everybody is having a wonderful afternoon out there in the greater Vancouver area. I would like to take a moment to tell you all about my very talented friend show. He is the guest host here on my show, Rip Rex, but he also has his own show where he gets in his own world, talks to all his comic friends, and laughs and just goes crazy. It's called Rex's World. It's great. It's available on krxw.com. Go down and give it a listen. All the old episodes are fabulous. Every new episode that comes around is always going to be a hoot. Rex's World is a good time.
Always. And like he said, you can find it on kxrw.com. Shout out to Brian Brooks. Brian is my co-host on it. You've been on there multiple times with us. We like to have fun. Thanks for the shout out, I guess. Yeah.
Of course. All right, let's get into it, man. It has been quite the kickoff to the NBA offseason. It started with the NBA draft and AJ DeBonta going number one overall to the Washington Wizards. BYU player going number one overall. My girlfriend is a huge fan of BYU, so she was very excited. She's like, oh my gosh, this is historic. Nobody ever thought a basketball player from BYU would go number one overall, and AJ did, and he's going to be a stud, and what Washington is building is fun. What a lot of the Eastern Conference teams are building are fun. Portland's made some moves, though, and that's probably the best place to start things with this offseason conversation. The Portland Trailblazers made what some people could say is a splash, which some people would say the Blazers don't normally do. They don't swing for the fences. They don't take the big risks. And this time, they kind of went out there and they did that. They traded for Ja Morant, an all-NBA-level player, two-time all-NBA, former Rookie of the Year. Trouble passed, yes, but for what they had to give up to acquire the level of talent, I was originally very excited. I mean, I saw the news and immediately called you because I was very excited and very confident that this was the start of something bigger that has yet to materialize. And what I say and mean by that is this team has too many guards on the team. And I don't understand what we're doing. And we have always been in love with guards. But we have too many. We don't have enough forwards right now. So I'm very conflicted because I like what the Blazers have done. I like trading for Ja. I like trying to take a big risk when you're not having to ship out a ton of assets. No draft capital was given up in that trade, which is a huge win for the team. But Cronin, with all the moves that are happening right now, with all the players that are gettable, and with all the assets that we have, this is one of those times where I wish we would have taken a bigger swing.
Bigger how? You got an all NBA player. Was it because he's out of position? It's not the position you wanted. Like, you can't get much bigger than something like that, I feel.
I think it would be one thing if Ja was coming off of, you know, those all NBA level performances.
He was kind of off in obscurity in Memphis. Memphis isn't really that great of an organization.
I agree with that 100%. And I do think he'll come in and be able to fit in and adapt to the system and adapt to the team and grow up. I mean, let's all be honest. At the end of the day, Ja needed to go somewhere else and learn how to grow up.
And he's in a room with a lot of veterans.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. He gets that experience with all the vets that he'll have in the room. But when you've got Giannis being traded, and you've got Jaylen Brown being traded, and Walker Kessler being traded, and Julius Randle being traded, I get a lot of those guys didn't really fit into the system, but you know, Jaylen Brown's a guard. I'd have rather paid more and taken the big swing wing and got Jaylen Brown, which we were at one point the favorite to acquire Jaylen Brown, and I think that's why a lot of Blazer fans feel the way we feel right now, because at the end of the day, we could have had one of the top 10 players in the entire league, and we're ended up with Ja Morant, who hasn't been the same player in the last 2.5-3 years.
I think that's kind of the woes of being a Portland fan, though. The Portland Trailblazers, in the beginning of their organization, of them being around and stuff, and in the 70s and stuff like that, you know, top-tier team, appealing team, things like that. As it's gone on, I don't think that, Portland's hard. It's hard to get people to want to come to Portland. It's hard to get people to be attracted to Portland. I think that's just always how it's been, though.
And that's why I think you have to, with the assets that you have right now, I think that's why you have to be fearless. And even if it sets us back a couple years,
yeah.
I would rather go balls to the wall all in and take a shot than play it safe. And I know I know Ja isn't technically playing it safe, but it's playing it safe in the sense of the assets we had to give up. We only had to give up Chris Murray and Jameer Grant.
And you were paying a lot for Jameer Grant.
We were paying a lot for Grant.
You
Grant
unloaded a good contract.
Grant was considered an untradeable contract. Yeah. So I'm not mad about the trade. I'm mad about the fact that we traded away two forwards and haven't added any in the first 2 days of free agency.
You did, however, re-sign Robert Williams.
We did bring back Robert Williams, which is a huge, huge, huge move. There wasn't really anybody on the market that we would have been able to get at that same price clip that would have been able to replace his game and his presence. And last year, he finally was able to stay injury-free. He missed some time, but that was more preventative than him actually hurting himself last season. He's a fantastic backup center, one of the best backup centers in the entire league. And a great person to have sitting behind Donovan. But at the end of the day, I've seen this too many times when injuries have affected Portland, and I look at this team and I look at our forward play and I'm like, we are going to be, at some point this year, we are going to be desperate for a forward.
I don't know, because so you've got Donovan Crane, who's in his third year. So now he's at that year where it's now time for him to show everybody that he is the starter, the guy, because you're gonna have to pay him soon. So you don't necessarily want to bring in somebody that's gonna compete with him for the job. You want him to take the job. Then you go into the forwards, and you've got both Kamara and Advia, who can both play small forward and power forward, who are both starters. So one of them is going to have to play one position, one's going to have to play the other.
And the cabin's bare after that. There's no forwards coming off the bench.
Right, but you're not going to make a major trade or major move unless you're going to give up one of those guys to get one of the forwards you were talking about. Like, you've already got starters. It's the bench that you need. But you aren't going to necessarily make a big, giant trade for a bench player. You know what I mean?
But see, I disagree with that, because you bring a legitimate forward here. You bring a legitimate forward in. Let's say, perfect example right now, Trey Murray III from the Pelicans, who's been rumored to be on the move and available this offseason. You bring somebody like that in, he slides in, and now Tamani comes off the bench and is looking at being a potential six-man of the year candidate coming off the bench.
But he's a starter. He's a starting guy. He's a guy that was at one point even considered being traded because of his value, because of the fact that he's a starting guy and he just didn't quite have a spot with you guys. Like, I don't know. I don't think he would willingly go sit the bench.
I think he would, 100%. Yeah, he's
mind reading, but like, you know,
he's a team player,
right? Yeah, and I'm not saying
that's what he's brought to the table from start to finish. I can see the writing on the wall from this roster, and I'm excited to see how Dame comes back, and I think Dame's gonna come back with a giant chip on his shoulder.
I agree, but there's also no guarantee how long he stays on the court each game, and you have to play a lot of games.
But we don't need five point guards. This roster needs to add forward depth.
I think a good example is the Knicks. The Knicks is a guard heavy team, and a lot of the time, you know, you had your rotation of three to four guys down low. You had Robinson, you had Cat, you had I believe OG played down there a couple of times. You know, you had a rotation of guys there, but then a lot of the big time subs and the big time moves they were making was moving Shaman around, was moving Hart around, was moving Alvaro around. Those are three guys that aren't necessarily starters. I don't know. It's hard, and you've got it was an older guy that we were using as well. I don't have the roster in front of me. I fresh off the championship, I would have everybody memorized. But now all of a sudden, I'm like, some of these guys are slipping.
It's okay.
But there was it was guard heavy. There was at least four to five guards that were rotating, including Jalen Brunson, who needed to be on the court a majority of the time. But it was very crucial to rotate those guys. Those guys move around a lot. So I mean, it makes sense to me. But that's how our team. That's how the Knicks work. So I don't know.
I just don't understand why we can't package, and we need to package one of these young guards in a pick and ship them out.
We're also in an NBA where positions mean less and less. There's a lot of guys play, just you kind of put them in spots to get them on the court, not necessarily to play a position they're good at. There's lots of teams that do that.
Yeah, my brain's still getting used to that style of basketball.
You're just putting your best players out on the court.
Putting your best players on the court, yes, but putting them out there out of position, I don't know.
Josh Hart played power forward really well, and
he's
normally a guard.
I know he did. I know
he
did.
He is a great power forward.
I know he did. The league just continues to get, you know, despite Wemby, the league just continues to be an undersized league.
It's a mix. Everybody's finding their ways to get on the court.
Yeah.
It's cool. I think it still comes back to the fact that, you know, Portland's not this flashy franchise that draws a lot of it's been easier for you guys to get free agents, but like not necessarily to get trades, which I don't get has to do with the city, but at the same time, some of the players now have to agree to be traded. It's just never that you guys have had such great teams that were like a player away, and you still couldn't get anybody to come over and move.
And that's how I feel like looking at this team. I look at this team and I look at the starting five, and I'm like, this is lovely. And then I shift my focus to what's coming off the bench this year, and it scares me.
There's been so many players that were like in search for a championship, and you guys have had so many teams that were built to win a championship but didn't have that star player. It just never came, like Portland's never came up as that draw. I don't know.
Well, I do know that Ja is in Portland, and he is excited to be in Portland. Shortly after the trade, he met up with head coach Mike Anori in Nashville. They were seen dining together and starting to build that coach player rapport and relationship. So it's always good to hear that the player you're trading for is excited and is bought in. It's funny because he was talking to a reporter and he said that 2 or 3 days before the trade happened, he got a piece of mail, and on the back of the envelope was one word, and it was Trailblazers. And so he said, "I view that as a sign." So, you know, Ja to Portland, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm still hopeful that we will add another guard or two down the line. A guy like a Rui Hachimura of the formerly of the Lakers, who's available, Rui would be a great fit in Portland. Somebody like that coming off the bench, somebody where I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about what happens when Tamani needs a break. And right now, I'm worried about when Tamani needs a break because they just traded the two guys that were behind him.
We'll have to see how free agency plays out, and there's probably going to be some older guys that are going to be available and things like that. A big that's not available is Kristaps Porzingis is returning to the Golden State Warriors, and I had messaged to you a couple of days ago that we were in for another flash of super teams because it's the only way some of these teams I feel can match, who are willing to trade away, who do not care about their picks, that can match with these teams that are building teams, building championships, like Oklahoma City and San Antonio and teams like that.
Yeah,
and I think Golden State's the next step. I think that LeBron James, who decided to leave the Lakers since we last talked, is going to choose to go to Golden State. I think that's why they're reworking Draymond Green's deal. I think that's why they've made the moves that they've made. And I don't know. Adding Porzingis, I think, adds to that fire.
I think it's The LeBron thing is interesting. I think before the Jaylen Brown trade, I would have agreed with you. I think that the Warriors at the end of the day made the most logistical sense. But after everything that's come out, after everything, I really think LeBron is taking a very open-minded approach to this. And I think he's essentially telling teams, show me your best move. Yeah. Make me want to come to your market. Right. What are you going to do? Because I am at the point in my career where I want to win. I don't need to go get a $50 million bag. I'm happy to sign for $10 to $15 yeah. million. Dollars.
And I'm going to make you money at this point because tickets are going to be sold. And if I decide to go on a retirement tour, I'm selling out your building every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if he goes to Philly, there's no reason they shouldn't win an NBA championship. That would be the scariest team in the league.
Yeah, I really hope that that's not a part of when I saw Giannis and then I saw him leave, part of me thought that we could see him reunite with what's his name down in South Beach, and see him go back to
Eric Spoelstra. Yeah.
Go back to Miami and finish out his career there, cuz as much as he's a Cavalier and he went back and won them a title, part of me feels like there's just a little bit more of him that makes him a Heat player.
And he could sign with the Cavaliers, and it would also make a lot of sense based off their roster. I mean,
yeah.
He could go to any one of his old stops, and it would make sense. He could also go to a handful of other teams, and it would make a lot of sense. The dark horse that nobody's talked about that I would love to see try to make a run at him is Minnesota. Imagine the Timberwolves after getting Lonzo and then adding LeBron. That would be crazy.
That would be really.
That would be crazy. Plus, they have Rudy Gobert still to handle the defensive load of things. So, I mean, if LeBron's truly ring chasing, he's got a lot of really, really good options on the table. And the more I think about it, the more options that present themselves to him. I think at the beginning of this, he might have been like, yeah, I think the Warriors are number one on my list. But I think as time goes on, I think they take a step back in the process potentially because there might be more compelling options for LeBron to go to.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I see that team with Jimmy Butler still on it, and now Porzingis coming back, and you know Steph Curry always being there as well as Draymond Green, but like the possibility of being reunited with Anthony Davis, or
they don't want to trade Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
The Wizards don't want to, and they don't need to. The Wizards also have a really, really good team and can compete this year.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's hard to believe in Washington.
It is definitely hard to believe. There's so much happening in the league, and there's so much more that we're going to get into in the next segment. We're going to talk basketball and the World Cup to close things out. This has been Talkin' Sports in the Couve, KXRW 99.9 Vancouver Independent Radio.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at KindredVancouver.com.
KXRW is supported by founding partners, Morrell Inc., Print, and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs. Find Morel Inc. at morelinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley and Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley and Associates. We speak your language.
Welcome back to the final segment here of Talking Sports in the Coup. Just like always, there's too much sports for us to talk about. We are running out of time. We still got to talk a little bit more NBA and then World Cup. Let's get back into to the NBA and talk about some of the other things that have been happening. The big trades. That's what really has kind of started this offseason, has been these kind of wild out of the blue trades, and it all started with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well, I was going to say we haven't heard you say anything about that one yet, and I feel like that was the first big move, but also the biggest was Giannis's new home.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis Jr. to the Miami Heat. In exchange, the Milwaukee Bucks get back Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez Jr. A player's name that I cannot pronounce, one of the younger guards that's been pretty good for the Heat last year, Casper Jerkelson, a 26th first-round pick, which ended up being the 13th overall pick, a first-round pick in 31, and a first-round pick in 33, and then a pick swap in 30. So the Bucks get a lot back. Get a really good piece for the future in Tyler Hero, a lot of really good draft capital to build around. But this trade was interesting. You know, I really thought he would ended up getting dealt to the Celtics. I even told you this at the end of the day, and my big prediction was it would be a 3-team trade between the Blazers, the Bucks, and the Celtics, and Jaylen Brown would be a Blazer right now. So maybe that's why I was so frustrated, because I had my heart set on a big swing that we didn't take. But like I was saying, I feel like this is a good move for the Heat, but it's also a little narrow-minded, because they shipped out their best shooter in Tyler Hero. They didn't re-sign Norm Powell, who was their second best shooter this year. And now they've got two interior perimeter players that play very similar styles of basketball, and I'm not saying that Bam and Giannis won't work together. I'm just saying that, like, I look at Portland's roster and I look for a forward. I look at Miami's roster and I look for where the shooting percentages in the shooting or the. And I look for where the shooting percentages are going to come from, and where the high shot processors are coming from that team this year.
You know, you didn't see a lot of shooters in Milwaukee outside of maybe Dame when they brought him in. I don't think that's necessarily something you build around Giannis, or at least they haven't before. So we'll see how the rest of this time goes. Spoelstra is a great coach, and Pat Riley is probably one of the best GMs to do it. So there's obviously a method to their madness, and they've obviously got a plan. But we got to see how the rest of the pieces fall, and who, because there's always, so after this first round of trades and everything like that, and after the free agency, there's always this like second wave of trades happening, and it's usually players that were already on a team that acquired a major talent or something, and no longer either see their future there and want out, or don't want to take a step back playtime wise and want out. So we'll see if there's any residual guys that they can pick up there, I think.
Definitely. One additional move they did make to add a little bit of shooting depth to that team was bringing in Tim Hardaway Jr., who's always been who's always shot at a pretty high high consistent pace. So that's one move that they did. But just out of everything, you know, this giant package for Giannis that we've been talking about, you know, I like what Milwaukee got back. You know, a lot of it will depend on, like always in these trades, you know, what those picks end up turning into and how they utilize those picks in the future. But Tyler Hero's a hometown boy. He's from Wisconsin. So, you know, it could be really something that if the Bucks really wanted to lean in, try to go in and sign Hero and build around him, they have a hometown franchise player now to try to do that with. And that's a team that has kind of needed to hit the reset button and didn't have a lot of their picks because of the Dame trade to Portland. And so this kind of gives them that flexibility to hit that reset button and start the rebuild in a proper way.
And Tyler Hero seems like a perfect player for them to fill seats until they draft their next franchise
100%.
Player. 100%. It'll be a guy that, like, maybe won't win you a championship, maybe give you flirtation with playoffs, but will always fill seats. Everybody the young people love Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero's got a lot of fans. He's from the area, like you said, so he'll draw people there too. But at the end of the day, he's gonna sell tickets for you until you get your next franchise player.
Most definitely. And then rounding out big trades happening, Kawhi Leonard heading back to the Toronto Raptors, and the Clippers got quite a good return for Kawhi, who has proven that he is one of the top 10 players in this league over the last 2 years.
What do you think the chances of LeBron going to Toronto is?
I don't know. LeBron internationally would be interesting. Would be really interesting, but the Clippers get back Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, 2 first round picks, 2 second round picks, and a pick swap.
A Grady what?
Yes.
What was that last part? Huh? I don't think you probably have to just say his full name. You can't just say his
Grady
last
Dick,
name by itself.
Yes. Grady Dick, yes. The man that has gotten in trouble for numerous inappropriate jersey swaps throughout the NBA. But I really like what the Clippers get in this trade. You know, it's fascinating. There's all the legal ramifications of this because of Kawhi getting paid through that third non-party thing from the Clippers owner. And so that investigation is still up in the air. And a lot of people say because Toronto is the team that was wronged in that situation, Kawhi going back to Toronto might make it easier for the league to kind of just quietly hush that situation away.
Getting older, used up, well, not used up, but like more wear on the tires, Kawhi Leonard back after all that stuff doesn't seem like justification to me.
No. But I mean, if this deal allows the Clippers to not really get punished, Kawhi to not really get punished, because Toronto at the end of the day doesn't feel like they're wronged, it's kind of the writing on the wall I see in this situation. The Clippers weren't going to re-sign him anyways, and he really said the only place I'll really re-sign is Toronto. So Kawhi kind of forced their hand in that situation.
Yeah, I've got like a sour relationship with the Clippers because I want them to be better than the Lakers.
Yeah.
But they also mistreat a lot of the players I really liked. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul, mind you, is a head case and created his own troubles. But like, the Clippers fumbled that and Blake Griffin.
Oh, 100%.
Both of those guys, Blake Griffin.
The Clippers have fumbled some of the best things an organization can fumble.
Right, and then fumbling the Kawhi Leonard stuff, and you had Kawhi Leonard. Was Paul George on the team at that? Mm-hmm. You had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You don't even have to add in the rest.
Right,
that should win games.
They traded Paul George for in that package that included Shea.
Right, yeah.
I sent you that thing the other night. Yeah. You look at all the pieces that Paul George has been traded for The list is crazy. I mean, out of all sports, I think Paul George has been traded for more crazy assets than any other player that I've seen.
Yeah, things that have turned into future stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably the best example.
By far the best.
The Thunder and getting him is, won him a championship.
100%. Yeah.
Won him a championship. Something that Paul George couldn't do.
Most definitely. Well, we could sit here and talk basketball all day long. There's so much to dive into, but we only have a couple minutes left, and I cannot step out of this studio if I do not talk about the World Cup. I will just be so mad at myself.
Yeah,
it's how I wanted to open the show, and I just started talking basketball for some reason.
Well, the thing is I think it's because that you're about to unload on us.
Probably.
And you were saving it for the end, because I don't have a lot I do not have a lot to contribute with this World Cup stuff. So
It's been such a fun ride, man. I've gotten out to Big Al's for two of the watch parties. They're the official FIFA watch party host for Vancouver. So I got to experience two of the group stage games there. But just watching this team play, we're playing our best soccer. We're playing better than we've ever played as a country and as a nation, and it's bringing us together, and it's exciting to see. Last night in the Bosnia game, the U.S. set a record. 26 million people tuned in to watch last night's game, more than any soccer game in the history of this country, and a record that I expect to be broken Monday night when we enter our toughest game of the tournament so far in Seattle against Belgium. I am so bummed that I didn't save up money over the last couple years and prepare for this World Cup. One of my former bosses is actually won the FIFA ticket lottery, so he'll actually be at the game on Monday night. For USA and Belgium.
Because you can't get a hold of these tickets in a normal way.
Well, the initial tickets you couldn't. I mean, you had to go through the FIFA process. But yes, I could go online and buy one right now. The cheapest ticket is almost $3,000 as of today for the knockout round game. So it's not feasible. He got in on the discounted tier. So it was, I think he said he paid $700 for his tickets. Those tickets are, now reselling online for probably $5,000 to $10,000. So it's been so much fun, man. The soccer, not just from the U.S., has been great. All the games have been fantastic. A sad red card happened yesterday that shouldn't have been a red card and was looked at the wrong way, and they were looking at still images instead of looking at
which game was this?
The U.S. The U.S. Bosnia game. So the U.S. will be without its top goal scorer and striker, Florian Balogun, on Monday, which will be a big, big loss, because this will be a big test for the U.S. and it will take we'll lose one of our best offensive minded players. He's been running in the gaps, been all over the pitch, playing lights out. Like I said, man, I love soccer. I love watching the game. I have this weird ability, because I played FIFA, that I see plays starting to develop before they're developing, and I get really into runs down the pitch, and so when we as a country are finally playing at our best, finally on that international stage competing and showing everybody that we know what we're doing, it's like a whole nother level of passion unlocks in me as this sports fan. It's my team, it's my country, and we're finally competing at the level that we should be competing at. And I think a lot of it comes down to Mauricio Pochettino having a manager in here that has success, that knows what's happening, and has been able to win big games before and get a team ready to play in big, meaningful moments. It's been so much fun to watch.
Has there been any stars or breakout stars or players playing well enough that like could be a big could be somebody that could end up being making a big move for themselves or making a name for themselves enough to land a major premier team or something like that, maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't have an example,
because I've always wondered that, because you have soccer is such a big sport, and I think about this with hockey too, because both of these sports are so big internationally that it and basketball is this way now too, because you're a majority of the best players in basketball are you know foreign players. If there's guys that slip by, if there's guys that are like really really good but like never, because they play for such an obscure team or never really got that notice that they deserved because of like where they came from or something, if they slipped under the radar, you know what I mean? Like if there were Premier League level players or even stars that were like playing being having to settle for the MLS because they just weren't getting the notice and things like that.
Yeah, that's normally in World Cup years. The transfer window is already open, but a lot of deals and a lot of the big like summer window stuff won't really kick into effect till after the World Cup. For that reason, you know, a lot of the players that are away are definitely trying to make a name for themselves, better their transfer status as well. So, but right now it's hard to point to like one person that I think is gonna do really well. I'll give you somebody locally. The Portland Timbers have a gentleman by the name of Finn Sermon who played for Australia, and I think he could get a big move somewhere after the way he played in this World Cup. So lots of local stuff. The other local tie that we have to the World Cup is the guy that the lead broadcaster for Fox that does the big games, John Strong, actually started out here in the Portland market and was the play-by-play guy for the Portland Timbers, and is the reason that I fell in love with listening to soccer on the radio before I started watching it on TV. So there's a really cool broadcasting tie locally for me when I'm watching these games too. That's really, really exciting. And man alive, I hope we can beat Belgium. I hope we can get to the quarterfinal at the beginning of the tournament. That's where I thought would be just over-the-top success for this country, would be getting to that quarterfinal, and it all comes down to Monday versus Belgium. That game will be over by the next time, or by the time you guys hear this. So let's hope the U.S. can win. Let's hope we have more World Cup stuff to talk about. This has been a way too fast episode of Talking Sports in the Couve. I'm left with more rambling to do, but you'll have to wait for next time for that. This has been Ryan Rex and our producer, Jono. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.